5 o'clock. You're in charge. Yes, indeed. Mr. Finance Director.
All right.
I've got 30 minutes, so I have to talk fast. I want to give Janice a full 30. Maybe I'll give you 35.
We'll try and listen quick.
Just don't tell a joke.
No jokes. There's no introduction. There's no nothing like that. I passed out a six-year financial plan for most of our funds. Here's a great big one for water, sewer, storm, but it's too big, so I didn't make any copies. But we'll put it on the website. Because the water, sewer, storm has got a lot of detail in it, and it has some ratios and coverage ratios and cash balances and that sort of thing. Things that the bond people like to see when we go out for revenue debt. And it's looking good, including the rate adjustments that we've been talking about. So the packet you have, let's go over that really quickly. I excluded most of the debt service funds because they're kind of boring. And so basically just the capital facilities plan, something we have to do, that front page is kind of generic, putting in some projects, different years. There's nothing really magic about those years and projects, but we have to have such a plan. Part of the GMA requirement, Growth Management Act. The key points, the next page, key points and assumptions, again, modest economic recovery. I can't remember Zimmerman isn't here because he would say, "What? When's the robust recovery going to happen?" Anyway, I really miss that.
When's the robust recovery going to happen?
Forget about it.
No questions.
Nothing robust. So, again, point two, in the past, we did put some money away for street funds and sidewalks and that sort of thing. Just haven't had the money. And again, we'll have to subsidize the street funds tremendously from solid waste. We get a little bit of money on gasoline excise taxes. Doesn't even cover a fourth of the needs. Probably need to buy a vehicle for the infrastructure inspector. We're adding some resources there. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Court, well, the judge has called city administrator several times, and we have a half-time court clerk now. We're just going to have to go to full-time next year. We have the court services manager, surely, and we have a half-time, 19 hours a week, no benefits person now. That's just not enough. Good news on medical insurance, a 0% increase. Yay. Really cool. Retirement, though, boy, the retirement rate that the city pays on wages is up 20%. Versus now, that's a big jump. We pay, in terms of percent, we pay more than 10% of wages into the retirement system. And then the employees pay a certain amount, too, about 6%. So that used to be a lot lower in the pretty wackers.
On the court clerk, we only have Shirley and a half-time person?
Right.
Okay. So it's only one and a half.
And now we've got two different court days.
You're adding a half.
Right, okay.
Plus benefits.
If you approve the
budget. Yeah, it's plus medical benefits.
Certainly that's up for discussion.
Yep. Still don't have any funding plan for the domestic violence advocate consultant. That's federal funding. Passed through from Bellingham. Proposed property tax increase 2%. And page two is...
Mark, could I request the change in how that's stated, number 9?
Sure.
Because you look at that and you think that's a 2% property tax increase. That's not what it is at all. It's Ferndale's budget increased by 2% from property tax.
Sure. Sure, I'll put in the dollar amount.
Because
if everyone paid...
We have so much trouble trying to get people to understand that that's about a 2/10% increase in people's property.
In their total bill.
Well said. And it says nobody from the paper, but they'll still get it wrong, so you'll still be
upset. They'd get it wrong every year.
Rob will be listening to this tomorrow.
We keep trying, and maybe eventually.
Are you listening, Rob?
Some people will finally get it.
Yeah. All right, question.
Yep.
On the vehicle, any chance of finding any type of grant funding for that? Because I know the chief is really good at finding grant funding for our police cars.
Good question. I don't have
a... Let's talk about that just for a second. You have time to talk about that. The police department has done an amazingly good job with a grant program called Stone Garden, and that grant is coming to an end. We basically bought the last seven police cars through that, and that program is going on. So if some of you people, Mel might be the only one who remembers this, remember when we were first started, we basically allocated on council one car per year for police.
Sometimes
we basically, and sometimes two if we had extra money. But we're probably going to have to look at that starting back up again, where basically in our budget is one car per year. The chief would like two. We'll have to see about that.
But this vehicle is for the public works, right? This is a police car.
No, but I was wondering, we've got police cars through grants. So I was wondering if there's some sort of grant funding or something that we could get.
Only if the terrorists are going to attack our infrastructure.
I know Janice has done very well with public works in terms of getting road and water system grants, storm grants. I don't know if there's... we did get a vehicle through the storm grant. We've got a nice pickup truck. Storm.
I suggested that we take a torch and take one of the old police cars and, do some torch work and turn it into a truck, but Public Works kind of looked at me like they didn't like that idea.
Is this a new person that we're getting a vehicle for, or a replacement?
So we should, do we want to go right in that?
Sure.
Talk about that. I think we have a better solution that has less of a budget.
If you remember, we talked about, due to the increase in development activity, hiring a development engineer, which would have been a brand new hire. We're now looking at the alternative of actually using some of our existing internal resources and providing some promotional opportunities for some of our own staff. What that would mean would be that we would then backfill with a lower position, if you will, maybe from the city, a crew or something like that. But we believe that we can use some of our expertise, and it's a less costly alternative. But whichever way we go, that person could very well need a vehicle. We're going to be looking at used vehicles as well, but we just wanted to put this in here in case we do need a vehicle for that person since they may need out in the field.
So, and if some of you want to have a private conversation about what he means about that, because we haven't completely formed it yet, so we don't want to put names and positions out yet.
We also need to be speaking with
people. Yeah, and we're also talking with the union, because there's actually more than one union involved.
So, I mean, you and Janice, that'll fit your needs?
It was brought to us by...
Janice came up trying to think a little bit out of the box.
Okay.
They can't share vehicles. Everybody is out of the office enough where they need their own
vehicle. We might be able to. Mark and I were talking, and we just put it in there just to be sure that we weren't surprised later on. But as we continue the discussions about whether this alternative will work, one of the things we will talk about is workloads and vehicle availability.
Well,
we don't want
to know. The truck we get for Bo, wasn't that a used truck?
Yes, we actually, our last vehicle was a used one. Like, I think the last couple.
Right.
Our last three were used. Our guys were good at going and finding some used vehicles and checking them out, and that's what he does.
That option.
Yeah, he does a real good job at it.
Paul?
I was just curious. If this person is going to be an infrastructure inspector, is there any chance that there may be enough hours in his or her schedule to do some code enforcement?
Well, let's hold that discussion, because we still want to talk to the union. We still want to kind of forming what that position is, what it will do. So let's
there's a good chance it'll actually involve more than one person. So, I mean, this may be kind of an opportunity for quite a few of our folks to change what they do, assume a little bit more responsibility. But my understanding is that it still would be centered in engineering-related work that would allow the review of these development projects in a more timely manner, since we just are getting so many on the public works.
We should have a actual answer to them by the very next council meeting.
Yeah, I'd hope to.
No road maintenance at all?
What's that?
No road maintenance, zeroed out again. 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014.
Right, except for TBD monies and what's on that list. You know, way in the past, we did some sidewalk projects and some road projects from REIT funds or solid waste funds. It's just money for that.
Still planning to do church, though? No road maintenance, but...
Ask me after...
when do you find out about the grants?
Well, Mel has promised to go to the meeting with a bigger club than I have.
Yeah. Ferndale Club.
Good luck.
I'll tell you after the COG meeting this week.
Okay.
Good question.
I'm not representing the city of Ferndale. I'm representing WPA, so I haven't decided on it.
Buses need better roads. Just saying.
Well said.
I just page two briefly, and then I'll kind of just field questions, I think. Page two shows for the general fund, as the auditors define it, which is general fund including solid waste, our two reserve funds, and our left one fund. In 2006 and 2007, the bottom row there, we were ahead of our reserve goal, and then we jumped to 2012 and 13, and, you know, we're kind of struggling to get back to 100% of our reserve goal. It's kind of tough in the out years there. This is combined five funds, but the auditors call it a general fund. And then page three and four, we get into our general fund. We're still showing a $13,000 deficit. What's in is the 13 grand, 13050 for nonprofits. What's out is the funding and expense for the domestic violence consultant. I hope we can get some funding with this federal pass-through funding. I did put in $2,000 of revenue extra for, which I then took out for the school resource officer. We're going to work with the school district trying to get some money out of them. It has $47,000 now. That's on a total of $106,000 for an officer for the year. But of course, it's not all full time on school property. So there's that ratio that we have to work with.
Do your numbers? I was talking with Sam earlier with his new savings in health care and stuff. Are those reflected in here yet? Or?
Yeah, the savings on insurance is reflected. It's row number 65 on page 4. That's a great savings. Great savings over what it would have been next year under the old carrier, even more of a savings. This shows 13 to 14. And
if we just realize that today, how come that savings, what we're short, aren't what we short now today and what we're short a week ago, isn't that the same figure?
Yeah.
No, we didn't just realize that today. I got a more updated figure that I had provided to you. We already knew that we were going to save at least $82,000.
Okay. But in your email, I don't have it, but didn't it say something like 107?
Correct. So what I was trying to say was, this year we're spending $313,000 on insurance. Next year we'll save $82,000 by switching. What we didn't look at was what it would have cost us to stay with our current insurer. If we would have stayed with our current insurer, 2014 figure versus our new insurer's figure is $107,000. But what we're really looking at in the budget is what we're paying in 2013, because we're not going to stay with them, versus the new one.
So we never even factored in the old insurance company is what you're saying.
We factored in our current figure with them, which was $313,000.
It would have been another $25,000
more. Yeah, Mark's been using a lower assumed insurance number for quite a long time. We just didn't know exactly what that number was going to be.
So do we still have the same deficit that we had? That's what we're asking.
Yes,
same approximate deficit, $13,600. And now, page three, it does include the, hopefully you'll vote on this tonight, the Utility tax balancing, $125,000 for the general fund. That's still in there in the draft. We're being a little conservative on the revenue for the permits and commercial and fees and that sort of thing versus this year. We do expect commercial activity to be strong, but residential probably not as strong based on the number of plats in planning stages. Fewer plats. Fewer buildable building lots. So let me highlight page 5 and 6 takes a look at the general fund out to 2020. Page 6 shows the, unfortunately, some deficits there, 2015 and on, challenges for next year, rather 2015. 2015 would lose the jail credit, 70 grand, that ran for 10 years. Because we had money back then, and we paid the county. The sales tax was almost 1.6 million back then, and we're just now approaching that figure after all those years climbing back up. One of the reserve funds, pages 7 and 8 are reserve funds. Basically shows nothing going into those funds until 2015, again from solid waste. Page 9 is our left one retiree, police retiree fund. Just slow contribution of money, the cash balance very, very slowly predicted to grow. I've assumed costs will go up 8%, so we will know when one of our three retired police officers starts incurring heavy expenses. We'll have to come back to the table here. We're ruined cash as pay as you go, and looking at some options there, but it's a tough deal. Solid waste tax, page 10. Actually, looks pretty good this year. We are 50 grand ahead on budget. That just came in last month, so we don't know if that'll sustain the rest of the year. Street fund, page 11, is again needing quite a bit of money on the revenue side to keep that fund going, just for ongoing requirements. We're assuming at the bottom of page 11 our continued use of our city resources managing projects, street projects. We expect about 50 grand of transfers to street projects and utility projects from our two or three or four individuals for the city. We don't do it at the department head level, but we do it below that level based on timesheet input. Park mitigation looks strong, page 12. Traffic mitigation, page 13, looks strong. Look at page 13. Now, we don't have any expenditures laid in for 2014 and on. We don't have any projects to... did I say 12? I meant 13. 13 on traffic mitigation.
I think it's the
second 12. It's the second 12. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Cut off. Sorry. The copy machine.
It's okay.
So traffic mitigation. So there's an opportunity there with the cash balance of 379 in 2014 and by 2015, 715 grand available for road projects. Similarly, on page 15, REIT 2 is used for road projects. Again, by the end of 2015, the planned balance is 380 grand. Again, can be used for street projects. So there's some bucks there in terms of matching grants, loans, that kind of thing. Page 16 is our new debt service fund on library. So starting in 2014, we'll be collecting some property tax and doing some transfers from REIT 1 and solid waste to make our 10-year 2.97% interest debt service payments.
What's this other property tax revenue, 5% delinquent 2014?
Well, not everybody pays their taxes on time. So we're on cash basis. I'm not going to get 100% of what we assess.
So he's assuming right above it, you see the 63,910. Mm-hmm. He's if everyone paid their taxes, the property taxes, that's what we would collect. But he's saying we're not going to get that one.
Oh, okay.
I get the rest out of REIT 1.
I just wanted to make sure we weren't.
Yeah. And then after the first year, it levels itself out because you have people paying back taxes that didn't pay them, people not paying their current ones, but it tends to work its way out.
Yeah, that figure goes positive.
Property sell.
We're first in line.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. And this shows a straight line. That would be paid off. Yeah.
Quick question. Where's the leftover from the police station? Because there was originally $175,000 left over.
I don't show ongoing or capital projects that are winding down on this budget. We will put a budget figure in,
okay. But
there's about $220,000 left in the police station fund, $75,000 of which has been set aside for the Lego improvements. Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it were, I thought that, so the police station's not officially done, as far as we're concerned, as far as accounting is concerned?
Well, there are some small issues that we're dealing
doors,
with right now. The when we designed the police station, we didn't actually envision the court and probation going there initially. Mm-hmm. Now that they've been operating there, you know where they're operating at. There's that freestanding little sign that says employees only. Well, a lot of people simply move that out of the way and then go and enter into the court area, the courts. So there's a little issue of security and people just not barging in when they have their back to the doors. So we're actually going to be putting up a couple more doors up there just to provide a little bit more security for them. So there's these small, but that's not really going to add up to...
I'm assuming it will cost $125,000.
No. There's some drywall and some door. And then we also have some repairs to the communications van that was envisioned during the project, but strangely enough, the company that supplies the this is that Comvan, the satellite or somebody, one of the companies went bankrupt, so now another company's taking it over, and we're trying to get some repair parts from them. So there's minor little things, but again, I don't anticipate using much of those monies. And once that's done, then we'll close that fund out, and we'll probably transfer that money back into, I would assume, maybe one of the refunds or...
No, it needs to be used on capital projects within 10 years of the bond.
So we may just...
Lego. Oh, yeah. That's
Lego.
$75,000 for Lego.
So that's still a substantial amount of money that's left.
It's still there. It's still there, yes.
There's another project in there, though. That
I see his project.
Well, yeah, the pavilion.
That's not the one he's doing next year?
No, but the pavilion is listed for the following year.
Pizza Annex is... The one for $200,000 next year.
Oh, well,
if we've got some money left over from the police station and after we've done Lego, my candidate for using some of that money would be the intersection of Church and Thornton. Big trucks working on Thornton came up there and turned fully loaded, and now that little kind of sort of washboard intersection is a near disaster.
Yeah.
And it's just right in the center of the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
There's a access manhole there, and they've just beat it to death.
Yeah. Once we finish these small little things up the police station and do Lego, I assume that we're going to have a very good discussion, because as we know, there's probably more uses for the money than we have monies for, but that'll be something we can talk about, and you'll figure out how best to spend that.
Councilperson Watson?
Question for Mark. On page 6, with all the deficits that are going to start in 2015, is there anything we can do in 2014 to start cutting into that? I mean, are we going to wait till 2015? I mean, because that's a scary deficit.
Most of that deficit is caused by taking sales tax, put some of it into the street. We can delay that again as we are delaying it in 2014.
Street as in maintenance, not as in new?
Street maintenance, yeah.
Okay.
Is that end of year?
I've got two decision cards. Actually, one cost decision card. Its proposal was a new phone system for City Hall, the same system, similar to, same stuff as the police station. It's a 12 to 13-month payback. So we suggest you approve that. It's basically, we're cash basis, so it would be less recurring costs and more capital costs. It's all money in the general fund. Just about a wash. It's about it's only about $15,000.
And the potential of our system is just outlived its lifespan.
Well, it's pretty tough. I got a voicemail the other day from the day before at 12:30. Like, really? My little light went blinking.
Just want you to point that out to come.
It's expensive to maintain.
Yeah, we pay Baron trip charge frequently.
$160 per trip.
How old is it?
It is about a decade old at this point. And we've had it all to replace it once in that time. And the warranty expired, so we had to buy a new one. So it's time to go digital, and it's time to go on voice over internet is what we're looking at. That's a
far more cost-effective solution.
And just, I guess the last thing is, thing I'd like to see tonight is just to decide on the utility tax balancing. We have the ordinance prepared. Brings in $125,000 for the general fund. Without that, anyway, I'm sure there'll be much discussion about that.
That's on the regular agenda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We wanted to make sure, you know, that Janice has a full 30 minutes. So we've got, I mean, you got five, a little less than 5 minutes. I don't know if anyone wants to discuss anything. Councilperson Watson?
Can I ask one more?
You certainly can.
Okay. The 3% raises for staff, is that, I want to make sure I understand, is that part of their contracts that they get 3% raises? Or?
No, all the contracts expire at the end of this year.
Okay.
You get a chance to consider and approve or not.
Okay.
New one-year contracts. I think they're all 1 year.
Okay. Yeah. So if we didn't do the 3% for those staff, how much would that save us? Do you have a number right offhand?
Or? No.
That's okay.
So are you formally asked that question?
I am formally asking, yeah. What would our numbers be? How much of a savings would it be for us?
Sure.
Is it zero versus three? Is that
yes.
The question?
Yes, please. Okay. I really am trying to find a way to pay for that domestic violence advocate.
Okay.
Yeah, related to that, two things. One is, thoughts were that...
47.
Yeah, next meeting, my hope is that we could, through going to exec and talk about under the performance of public officials, talk about the non-represented, because there are some, well, some of them are fairly straightforward, but there's at least one or two that are a little different. We can talk about all that. And secondly, and this is something we'll be talking about more about, but my understanding is that the various police departments around the county are trying to see if there's a way, if they can't, through their operating budgets, all kind of kick in some money. This is something that the chief has brought up and will continue to explore for the domestic violence position.
Oh, okay.
So they've tried in the past to see if the cities might be able to just come up with some new monies on a percentage basis, and there's been reluctance because all the budgets are tight. But now they're hoping that maybe through some efficiencies individually in the operating funds, they might be able to put something together. So we'll bring more back on that as well.
Maybe we could ask the people that have Costco and Fred Meyer and Walmart if perhaps they might be willing to share something with their poor neighbors.
Yeah, it is.
Or they could give us Costco.
That's true.
Okay, so we're a little early. I'd love to give Janice lots of time. So.
Good evening, councils, mayor, and staff. Let's see. In March, we presented the results of the water softening alternatives analysis. Right here. And out of this report, there's a recommendation to install a nanofiltration system to soften the city's water. And at that time, council gave staff approval to proceed with a pilot study on that type of system. And so our pilot study has been completed, and Andy Law with Wilson Engineering is here tonight to go over the results of the pilot study.
Do you have a PowerPoint? While they're setting that up, not this meeting, but next meeting, we'll probably be asking you to consider authorization of a full-scale design of this system, but we wanted to give you an update of where we are today so we can have a chance to maybe field other questions and get you any other information you need for or ask for that.
Okay, yeah. As Janice said, we have an update to the softening project. Pilot study is completed, and the results are in. And we've got the engineering report basically ready to submit to the Department of Health. But, okay. Okay, which button do I press?
Let
Yori handle it. Yori can drive for you.
He could be your driver.
I have a more direct.
All right.
TMI, dude.
Actually, do you? Yeah. Right. I get to you a couple of times.
Something.
Yeah, that's the wire.
Okay, so. Here's the outline for what we're going to talk about tonight. First, just go over the proposed solution to the hardness issue, and then describe the nanofiltration system, and then the description of the pilot study, and then the results of the pilot study, and then a recap of the costs, projected costs, and then the next steps forward. Next slide.
All right. Go touch the wire.
See your scroll under here.
Oh, that's weird.
Okay, so the nanofiltration or low pressure reverse osmosis.
Here the Yuri.
We'll remove the hardness. Well, basically 99% of the hardness is removed by that process, and it's blended with the non-treated water to get the 70 milligram per liter hardness target. But this process also reduces the total dissolved solids by quite a bit, resulting in an overall treatment or content of about 50% of what you've got now, and it'll be about 50% less chlorine use, which is a good benefit for taste and health and saving some cost too. And then there'll be 50% less disinfection byproducts such as bromoform that will be in your water. And it also removes arsenic to some extent, or about 89%, and then uses less chemicals. The only chemical needed is an antiscalant. And the removal of the alkalinity by the process goes right back to the wastewater treatment plant, so we don't have to go back and add more of that, more lime to the treatment plant. So we'll be not having to spend extra money on that. Next slide. And here's just a simplified version of the system, showing the two wells going to the treatment plant, which now has a green sand filter system, which removes the manganese, and it's chlorinated before that process. And then the other portion of the stream will go to the softening, and that doesn't have to be chlorinated. And then those two streams go and are combined, and then a little more chlorine is added prior to going out to the distribution system.
In the future, when we have the third well, we haven't determined where it is, but that's the system basically would be able to adjust to a third well without any adjustment.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty flexible in how it's operating. And this is just a schematic of the reverse osmosis or nanofiltration element. Basically, on the left, you see the salty feed water going in, and then out in the middle. The middle blue tube coming out the end there, that's the nicely desalted water that will be combined with the green sand treated water. And then the concentrate, which is the upper little drop there, that's really salty water. So and that's sent to the wastewater treatment plant.
To do what?
What's that?
To go bye-bye?
Yeah, it goes bye-bye to the wastewater
treatment plant. It's the percent of the salty feed water to the output.
It will be around 10 to 13% of the... feed water.
You're getting 90% clarity on that filtration system?
Up to 90%.
And only 10 to whatever percent you said?
It'll be between 87 and 90%.
That's the flux water I was discussing
right.
earlier.
Right. Okay, next slide.
Can you go back one?
See, the remote's not working. I need it down. So here's the pilot system that was at the treatment plant for 3 months. And it's got 12 pressure vessels there that contain the reverse osmosis membrane units. And the design flow for that is 30 gallons per minute versus the full-scale system will be 500 gallons per minute.
And do we keep that and just add on to it? Or is
no, this has already gone back.
That's what I thought it might be.
You just rented it.
Yeah, that's right.
So at that pump, that kind of long, skinny thing thin thing in the middle is the pump. And then it's got all the controls and then all the reverse osmosis tubes there. So, and it, next slide. So just for comparison, this is what the full-scale system would look like roughly to 500 gallon per minute units. They would each have about 20 of those pressure vessels of about five times bigger than the pilot system had. Next slide. So the duration of the test, like I said, was 3 months. The treated water production rate was 30 gallons per minute, and the raw water going in was 34.5 gallons per minute. That was controlled to get 87% recovery. And so then the wastewater from that is 4.5 gallons per minute. And as Lloyd was saying, the flux rate, the average flux rate through the membranes was 14 gallons per square foot per day. And the overall percent removal, roughly, for most things was about 99%. Next slide. Anti-scaling is the vital ingredient for making this last a long time. The memories last a long time. The just as an example, there's four slides there showing, or micrographs showing the membrane after being exposed to or calcium-laden water. And the upper one there has no antiscalant, and it's pretty well plugged up. And the next one has one part per million antiscalant, and so on to the three part per million one that has virtually no scaling on it at all. So that's why we have to use antiscalant. And the dose will be about 2 to 3 parts per million, just to prevent that from happening.
Can you tell me what antiscalant is, what chemical it is?
It's a drinking water approved organic polymer, basically a long, you know, relatively long on a microscopic scale, organic chemical that kind of holds those calcium ions in place, doesn't allow them to precipitate onto the membrane. And it just goes out with the wastewater.
So that's three parts per million based on, I mean, like, you're putting in 10 pounds per day, but how much of that would end up in someone's water?
None?
It doesn't go through the filtration.
It will go through the filters.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So thank you.
It all goes, 100.00% goes to the wastewater.
Okay, thank you.
And that is the name of the Vitek?
Yeah, Vitek.
That's the brand name.
The brand name, yeah.
We don't have a chemical name for it.
I don't have a chemical name offhand. But there are a few different products out there by different companies. The main thing is to have an antiscalant that will deal with the silicon in the water and the calcium, both. So that's the main thing in buying the right antiscalant. Now, the results here, we expect over time, or maybe over months or years, sometimes days, depending on the quality of the water in the system, that there be going to be some change in some of these parameters. But over the 3-month study, none of these changed, the feed pressure, any change in the membranes. It all just stayed the same from beginning to end. So so this is good. There were no decrease in performance over the 3 months. So we can extrapolate out that the membrane should last a pretty long time. Don't know for sure, but they should last what the manufacturer says, 5 to 7 years. And then here are the percent removals. Most things are about 98-99% removal. Hardness is basically all removed, and arsenic is the lowest at 89%. So the next slide shows the actual quality of the water after treatment and then blending with the non-softened water. So the hardness goes down to our target of 70 milligrams per liter, and the total dissolved solids will be down well below the standard of 500. And then the other items are removed.
So for council point of reference, our hardness level with river water was?
About 70.
Okay.
In that neighborhood.
Curious. So all the things you're taking out, that goes into the wastewater? You're not having to collect manganese and arsenic somewhere? It's going into the wastewater?
It all goes into the wastewater.
Okay.
And the capital cost for the system, the full-scale system, is in that range. And the O&M cost is that range, $65,000 to $85,000 a year. O&M cost is just a little bit higher, probably on a life cycle basis, but they're about similar. Next slide.
Real quick on the costs.
Yep.
Are those based on, is that materials or salary as well, just materials?
No, not salary.
Okay, so that's
so in addition to that, there would be about 500 hours a year of probably extra labor.
Okay.
So the next steps are to submit the engineering report, which we can do tomorrow. And then after that, and we can also immediately, or the construction plans can start preparation immediately. They don't have to have State Department of Health approval of the engineering report before starting that. And then the next step would be to get the plans approved by the health department and get the construction documents advertised for bid by contractors. And then constructing the water softening system and putting it online would be the next step. And then the schedule. Here's the rough schedule here. Get the construction documents done December. Hopefully get DOH approval sooner than that, but maybe that would be that. And then put it out for bid. Go through that 1 or 2 month process to get that done. Order the equipment shortly thereafter, and then get the thing installed. So that's about it.
Councilperson Mutchler?
The shelf life of this system, how long would it last us?
That's a good question. Using all stainless steel and plastic, the elements, it should last. With this kind of water, it's not very salty. It's not like seawater, so a lot of some of those systems go bad pretty fast, but it should last for at least 1 year. And like I said, the membranes last for at least five to seven years. I hope it lasts longer than 20 years.
Councilperson Watson and Ingram?
Question for Janice for the costs. But at 500 hours per year, is that going to be something you're going to be able to take up as normal, or is this just going to be built into the fourth operator? I'm just trying.
Staff time?
Yeah, staff time.
We just need to get that system up and running and see.
Microphone.
And then get the system up and running, and I think this is what I commented on when we were looking at the alternatives analysis. So get the system up and running and then determine how much time is actually going to be involved and then address staffing.
Okay, so this is this in your 2014 budget? The maintenance costs and the labor costs wouldn't be in your 2014 numbers then, really? I mean, just that last quarter will...
Yeah, we just have the capital costs right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless Mark, unless you want to comment on that. Maybe you have plugged in something.
I put in $75,000 a year for chemicals.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so already for 2014 you put in...
And the fourth operator is in there.
Okay.
We're about to hire one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. Really, really close.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to comment on that for the costs, for the capital costs. I think we're showing at 1.8 to 2.1. That's the same range that was included in our alternatives analysis, because there wasn't anything in the pilot study that gave us any indication that the cost would be higher. But as we work through the design process, we get more into the details, then we'll know, you know, where we're at. But for right now, same dollar amount, moving forward with that range.
Councilperson Ingram?
I'm just curious about the capacity of the system. As we grow as a city, are we going to have to continuously add elements to this? Or are we good for, you say our shelf life is about 20 years. Is our capacity life about the same?
With the you start off with two of those 500 gallon per minute units, and that should last till roughly 2022 without considering the jail. And then you'll add a third unit, and that should last you till about 2036 at least, depending on growth rates, of course.
And that would also include the jail.
Yeah.
So it just depends on when the jail comes online, so that may accelerate that schedule. So instead of us needing that third unit in 2022, we might need it earlier than that. Since the jail takes online.
Councilperson Mutchler, then Zimmerman.
Yeah, this is kind of connecting two things, but I'm trying to better understand our enterprise funds in general. Staff is proposing a reduction of our water rates, I think, of 4%, based on sort of recalibrating some things. I'm just curious how this fits into that. If we didn't have to do this, if we weren't, for some reason, we drilled those wells, it's perfect, would we have hypothetically been able to lower that more? Has this come out of someplace different?
That's a hypothetical.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
But the money did come out of funds
because we didn't have to raise
water fund.
Yeah. My understanding is, in part, we just are delaying other projects. That's how we did this. How did we come up with $2 million?
I can't answer that, I believe.
Thank you.
That's the question. Where'd you come up with the $2 million? We got $200,000 from the PUD. That was found money. We got an interfund loan repayment from the Main Street project, $550,000. I'm going to do an interfund loan from sewer of $1 million. So that gets you real close to $2 million. That $1 million will be paid back in 2014 and 15, rather 2015 and 16, back to the sewer fund.
So
get you about $2 million without any new borrowings.
It's about roughly $160 a year in debt service.
There's no debt service. We're not borrowing money.
Just straight back. So okay. So that basically comes out of revenues from our customers.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Councilperson Zimmerman?
Mr. Law, when you pump the water into the system, this is the same water that will be also traveling through the fire hydrants?
I'm not sure. I guess I understand your question. The water coming out of the treatment? The water treatment?
This goes in the general water supply, yeah. But it's also like when people wash their cars and stuff like that, they're not going to get that spotting.
Right.
Yeah. And then also that water goes through if someone would have a fire.
Right.
So we're cleaning up that water too.
Yeah. As far as I understand it, you don't have any separate distribution systems. It'll all be the same.
What was your response to my suggestions on the electromagnetic effect in that company? I know the research, because I've tried to get some. Maybe you have it now. Okay. Tonight I'll get any connection of somebody that you suggested. But what was you looked over that one too as an option?
I looked at it briefly, but I haven't looked at it since our last meeting.
And briefly means what?
I met with somebody who has one of the companies that offers these systems, and I looked up, tried to find out from different associations and agencies what their recommendations are for this kind of treatment system.
And that somebody, what company was that?
American Association. Excuse me. Associated Water, the AWWA. It escapes me what the acronym is, but
American Wastewater Association.
American Water
Waterworks.
Waterworks Association.
So that was a person that worked in the Waterworks Association, per se.
Not a person. Their literature.
And what was that person's name?
I didn't talk to a person.
He did a literature search.
So you didn't meet with anybody that didn't come out to your place.
I think the question you want to know is why would that system not work for the city of Ferndale?
I do not know much enough about it to know that it would not work. I just know that it's not endorsed by any major agency or organization. So it would be kind of a new ground.
It's kind of out of the box. Thank you on your behalf.
Out of the box, yeah. Right.
Out of the Ronco box.
Thank you.
Councilperson Peters?
Slowly sinking. Besides dealing with the hardness, this system is. We getting all these other things removed, kind of as a side benefit. The arsenic, sodium, chlorine, bromide, total dissolved solids. That's kind of a side benefit of the hardness.
Right.
Issue.
Although the total dissolved solids is out of compliance with the standards. As it is, so it's not really just a side benefit, but it's a real benefit.
A requirement. So the issue we were originally dealing with is the hardness.
Right.
And we're getting all these other things kind of free.
Right. The other feasible option we had only removed hardness, didn't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's less expensive, but it didn't do any of the other things.
Councilperson Watson?
Oh, quick question. Did the Department of Health give you any idea of if they looked at the data initially, or is there just some format that they have to go through that's going to take so long? Because I know they've been following along. I'm just wondering why it's going to take until February to get their approval.
That would be the February is for the construction drawings. Well, construction drawings would be completed in December, and then conceivably they could, if they're not that busy, which they may not be, then they could get things done in 2 weeks or a month, but.
Well, I think I misunderstood that. I thought they were just looking at the pilot study and telling you could go ahead. They also have to approve the construction drawings, all the engineering, that aspect
right.
of it as well?
Yes.
I see. Okay. Thank you. I misunderstood then.
I did, too. I thought it was just a report.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, they got the pilot study they had to approve, and now the report, which we're going to submit, and then the construction drawings. So, those three.
Okay. Thank you.
We can be rest assured, because it's been brought up by council or some council in the past, that is this system purely tested by people other than our consultant that we paid, and that's correct. Every process, every facet of the system is tested by a different party than us. Mm-hmm. Councilperson Zimmerman.
So what was your ending pH?
The ending pH?
Of your test?
It didn't change the pH a whole lot.
Well, pH is the measure of hardness.
pH is not the measure of hardness.
No, it's not.
Hardness
is the
Hardness is the sum of calcium and magnesium.
Right, and that gives you the high pH, which gives you the hardness. That's the metal.
The alkalinity.
Yeah, potential for hydrogen.
The alkalinity.
So what, the pH of the water before, it's minerals in the water. Water by itself is neutral.
Right.
So that's a great question. But it's the minerals that are the issue. It's the electromagnetic effect of those minerals when they come out and how they want to glom onto something. The stickiness. That's the big issue. Because, I mean, the arsenic, the bromide, the chlorine, the manganese, all that stuff, it's scary. But I believe that our water, as it came out of the water beforehand, was all well within drinking limit standards. Am I correct?
So it was all within the primary drinking water limits.
Yeah.
Not all the secondary limits, which are more for aesthetics than health.
Is there a question there?
Yeah, I was just asking what was the final pH on it, and I don't see that anywhere here.
It was you know, the pH going in is about 8.2. When you blend the two together, it drops down to about 8.
8.2 to 8?
Yeah.
Okay, any further questions? We've got a little less than 9 minutes, so anything more you'd like to present, Janice? Or?
Next step will be coming back to council with a scope and budget for the design work for the nanofiltration project. So that'll be hopefully at the next city council meeting. So we'll talk about it first.
I would insist that it's at the next council meeting because I'm sure I'm not the only elected official that would like to get this going. Mm-hmm. Councilperson Watson.
I completely lost my train of thought. I'll have to hope it comes back on the rail.
Okay. Sorry. Hold that question. Okay. So we'll have a break till 6 o'clock.
All right. Thank you.